offsprings as of many, but as of one, and to thy offspring who is Christ. Now I mean this, that the law, which was made 430 years later, does not annul the covenant, which was ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the right to inherit be from the law, it is no longer from a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. What then was the law? It was enacted on account of transgressions, being delivered by angels through a mediator, until the offspring should come to whom the promise was made. Now there is no intermediary where there is only one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? By no means. For if a law had been given that could give life, justice would truly be from the law. But the scriptures shut up all things under sin, that by the faith of Jesus Christ the promise might be given to those who believe. Please stand now for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from St. Luke chapter 17. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was entering a certain village, there met him 10 lepers who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, crying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass that as they were on their way, they were made clean. But one of them, seeing that he was made clean, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. But Jesus answered and said, "Were not the 10 made clean? But where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go thy way, for thy faith has saved thee." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, this gospel is a very important one for our Catholics, because we are the people to whom our Lord is speaking now. Often it is Catholics who do not give thanks to God for all their benefits. I mean, think about all the things you have been given. It is absolutely incredible. As a Catholic, you have been given over and above what everyone else has been given. The gifts of creation, of course, everyone is given. God the Father has bestowed on us this beautiful world, the mountains and the trees and the stars, the flowers and the birds and all the animals, to remind us of his goodness and his love for us. He's given us the food we eat and all the help we need to make it through this world and to make it to heaven. Everyone's been given those things. But Catholics, over and above, have been given special gifts that no one else has. You are the only group of people who has been given the gifts of the true faith. That you have been given the sacraments. You have been given the love and the protection of the most blessed Virgin Mary. You have been given so many things. And the gifts of the sacraments, you could go into and just enumerate all the ways in which God has blessed us and bestowed on us so many special things. But of course, today's gospel especially focuses on the gift of the forgiveness of sin in the sacrament of confession. You think about the fact that every time you go to confession, you are given a new start, something that no other group of people, no other religion has. You are given the chance to start anew your life and to say, "I am going to start now, and I'm going to become a better person. I'm going to become close to God." Every time you go to confession, you have that gift. And our Lord must be very displeased when Catholics do not give proper thanks for all that they have been given, especially for the sacrament of confession and of the Holy Eucharist. Now let's look at the lepers. They're a symbol of sinners, because leprosy was a type of sin. It was a symbol of sin. And the first thing that we notice about the lepers is they recognize their sad condition. And they stand afar off and they beg our Lord. They lift up their voices, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." But notice it says they stand afar off. That is, they're humble people. That is, they're afraid to approach. Obviously, in those days, leprosy was considered very contagious. And so they were afraid to approach near people. But it's symbolic in the gospel for our lesson that we should be like them. Humble, standing afar off from, you know, considering our lowliness and begging Jesus to have mercy on us. You'll notice their prayer is one in which they acknowledge their suffering. They acknowledge their sin. And that is how we have to be. Our prayer must be humble. That's the first thing. We've offended God, and so we stand afar off. But you'll notice, too, that the prayer of the lepers was very fervent, and that's how our prayer must be as well. Our prayer must be fervent. It has to be from our hearts. What good is it for you to go to confession if you're just saying words? If you're just saying blah, 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 blah. Is that going to give you any forgiveness? No. It has to be from your heart. You have to repent. And so when you go to confession, you should have tears in your eyes. Obviously, we can't always have tears. But what I'm saying is it should be from your heart. The depths of your soul, you should be saying, I am so sorry for what I've done to you, Lord. I am so sorry, and I'm going to try never to do these things again. Our prayer has to become more fervent. Now, consider this, my dear friends, that when God restores someone to the state of grace, it is a greater favor than if he cured you from leprosy or even if he raised you from the dead. It is a greater gift because he is raising you to the divine level. When a body is restored to life, that is still something of this earth. But when he takes you from mortal sin and raises you to the state of grace and giving you his life, the life of God in your soul, he is raising you from a state of damnation to a state of the divine level. That God is now with you. And you have to realize this is a much greater gift than anything you could be given here on earth that is besides the Holy Eucharist. Anything here on earth that God would do for you, curing you of a cancer or curing you of a terrible disease or even raising you back to life, the gift that you have in confession is greater. And so, consider in this gospel what our Lord is saying to you. Go show yourselves to the priest. When you are humble enough to recognize your worthlessness, your state of sin, you go show yourselves to the priest because that is the condition that Jesus has laid down for us. To have your sin forgiven, you must show yourselves to the priest to confess your sin. The Protestants don't believe this. They read the same gospel and they don't connect it. They don't understand that our Lord has made this a condition. And I'm sure that he permitted this to happen, this whole event to happen, to teach us that there are going to be times when we have to do something that we don't quite understand, and that in doing it, in fulfilling that condition, then we will receive his grace. Because you'll notice that the lepers, show yourselves to the priest can't do anything for us. Those priests of the Old Testament, they had no power to heal leprosy. Now, once you were cured of leprosy, you were told to go show yourselves to the priest. But these men had not yet been cured. Because it says clearly that on their way, they were made clean. So our Lord was requiring of them faith to go, even though they did not understand. But they could have said, but Lord, we're not cured yet. Why are we going now? Our Lord didn't want them to ask that. He wanted them to have faith and to trust and to just listen to him and just do it. And that is why Catholics have to realize there is going to be times where you have to do things that you're not going to understand. But our Lord wants you to have faith in him and to trust. And confession is like that. A lot of people will say, but the priest, Father Cooper or Father De La Tour, they don't have power to take away sin. Well, we all know that. But Jesus does, and Jesus takes away your sin through the administration of the priest. Go show yourselves to the priest, and when you do, then your sin will be forgiven. Or your, as in the gospel, your leprosy will be cleansed. If you fulfill that condition of mine through faith. It does require faith on our part to open our soul to a priest and to know that then the priest will lift our sins off our soul. What a tremendous thing that is, that I should say Jesus, through the priest, will lift their sins off our soul and restore us to the life of grace. Now then, after we have been cleansed, after God has redeemed us by his precious blood in the sacrament of confession, we must remember to give thanks to him. There are basically two kinds of people in this world, and you especially see it when you are older. When we all will get old and we will all suffer before we die. And there are basically, as I said, two kinds of people. Those who choose to look at their sufferings as a way to get to heaven, and they still give thanks to God for everything he has given to them. And the other group of people are people who complain about what has happened to them in their life. And they don't see the gifts that God has given to them. I've seen this happen many times when I go to a nursing home or visit sick people, that basically two ways of handling it. And obviously all of you will sit here and say, I want to be the kind of person who gives thanks to God. Well, you must begin now then. You must begin now in your life to thank God for everything he's given to you. And like this one leper, out of 10, there was only one who went back to give thanks to him. And you have to wonder, is that the percentage of people in this world who give thanks to God, even in their sufferings? Is it only 1 out of 10? It might be. We all should want to be in that 10%. And so you have to begin now. And just look around you to give thanks to God for everything. Everything that he has given to you in this world, and especially here in the Catholic faith. Every time, I've told you this so many times, but every time you walk through the doors of this chapel, your heart should be lifted up and you should say, thank you, Lord, for letting me be here today. I remember reading a story about a man in, I think it was in Jamaica he lived. And obviously they don't, even today, they don't have Mass very often, or, you know, the traditional Mass very often. And this man would walk 15 miles every Sunday to get to Mass, one way. He had no car, he had no transportation, he would walk. But he always gave thanks to God. And when the priest tried to get him a ride to Mass, he said, no, Father, don't. I don't want a ride. I want to walk, because that is my way of making a little sacrifice to thank God for what he gives me when I get to the church. It was his sacrifice. And so, my dear friends, you should always think, even if you have to drive 2 hours to get here to Mass, you should always think to yourself, it is my way of thanking God for the gifts of the faith. It doesn't matter to me how far I have to go. Because what I receive in the Catholic Church is greater than any sacrifice I might have to make. And that's what I mean by starting now, to thank God for all that you've been given. Like the leper. You see, it was genuine. His thanksgiving was absolutely genuine. He fell on his knees. He said with a loud voice his thanksgiving to God. And like the leper, when we have been healed from our sins, your thanksgiving should be very great. Obviously, even more than the lepers, because, as I told you, God has raised you back to the state of the divine life. And so, the more you have been forgiven, the greater should be your gratitude. Remember our Lord said that to Simon the Pharisee? Simon, you didn't do any of these things for me, but she has. Mary Magdalene has. And I say to you, many sins are forgiven her because she has loved much. But to whom less is forgiven, they give less thanks. We don't remember to thank God. But the more God has forgiven you, the greater should be your gratitude. And those of you who are sitting here in this chapel and thinking to yourself, I have thousands and thousands of sins that I have been forgiven. You, above all, should be the ones thanking God for your life and the things in your life, and you should never complain. You should never say, oh, why me, Lord? Why you? Because you're rotten. That's why. I mean, because you deserve it. But the fact is that, I mean, you should never say that. You should say to yourself, thank you, Lord. I thank you for everything, especially for the forgiveness of my sins. And any suffering that comes my way, I am going to offer up to you as a little sacrifice in reparation for my sins, as a way of doing penance, because I know that that penance that the priest gave me of saying a rosary or a few Our Fathers and Hail Marys, no way compensates for all the sins that you have forgiven me. And so whatever happens to me in my life, whether it be a terrible suffering, sickness, or whatever, the loss of my wealth or goods, I am going to praise your name and give thanks to you and bow my head and say, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, now and forever. No matter what happens to me, I will give thanks to you. And this is, according to a priest, I was reading a priest, he said this, he thought that the reason people fall back into sin so much after confession is they don't appreciate the graces they received. And so because of their lack of appreciation, they just go right back into the way they were living before. But can you imagine a leper who's been cleansed? Can you imagine him going back to the leper colony and saying, hey, I like you people, I'm going to hang out with you. And endangering himself of catching leprosy again. He would be a fool, and you would say, you're an idiot. Why are you doing that? But that's exactly what we do when, after we have been healed, we go right back after our sins and right back to the same friends, the same places, the same occasions of sin that brought us down. We have to pull ourselves away and give thanks to God for the new life He has given us. Ingratitude hurts our Lord more than anything. He said that to St. Margaret Mary. You think about this. Why? Because a heart that is very delicate, that is, a heart that is very sensitive, is hurt more by ingratitude than by insults. Our Lord, you can think of all the people in this world that insult Him directly. They say horrible things about Jesus. They curse Him. And they blaspheme Him all the time. But He is more hurt, according to the saints, by the ingratitude of Catholics than He is by the insults of heretics and unbelievers. He is more hurt by the ingratitude of Catholics. You think about that, and you must say to yourself at this Mass today, I, for one, am from now on always going to thank God for what I have been given. I will never fail to appreciate the gifts of my faith, and especially the forgiveness of my sins and the sacrament of confession. If you are that way, our Lord will say to you what He says to this man at the end of the gospel, arise, go thy way, thy faith has saved thee. And you will know that you are on the path to heaven, and no one in this world could ever touch you. Our Lord will be with you and will keep you in the palm of His hand, as He says in the book of Isaiah. I will keep you as a child. I will love you and keep you in the palm of my hand all the days of your life. So let us all then remember today to give thanks to the Lord for all that He has given to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.